This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome back to the Mr. D Math and More podcast. This week, I think we're going to have a little fun. The question that is asked is the mean really mean? You're thinking to yourself, what? Is the mean really mean? But wait, let's take it a little further. How about this? Could I use that word mean three times in one sentence with three different definitions? So think about the question, is the mean really mean? So here comes the sentence. Here it comes. Are you ready? Does that mean that the mean is mean? Think about that. Three different definitions for the word mean. Does that mean, like a definition, that the mean, which is a math word, is mean, meaning not nice? The English language can really be tough on us math guys, and non-math people too. So is the mean really mean? Well, we might have to consider, well, what is a mean when we're talking math? And I'm going to give you the long, boring way to say it first, and then we'll get it into words that make sense to everyone. The mean is a central measure of tendency. And you think, well, what does that mean? Definition form of mean. A central measure of tendency, well, let's take each word. Central meaning the middle. A measure meaning we can calculate it. Tendency meaning what tends to happen. So when we talk about a central measure of tendency or the mean being a central measure of tendency, we mean that the central measure of tendency, the middle that we calculate of what tends to happen, the easy way to say that is something that tends to pull towards the middle, or even simpler than that, finding the middle. Well, you might think, well, I know how to find the middle of something. You say, yeah, finding the middle is like finding the average. And people know that. They say, how do you find the average? You say, well, you add the numbers up and you divide by how many you have. That is actually finding the middle. You actually often do that, but you don't even know that you're doing it. Listen to this. What is in the middle of 8 and 10? And you say 9 because you know it's 9. But you actually found the mean or the average. Think about that. The middle of 8 and 10. You've got two numbers, 8 and 10. Add them together. Divide by 2. You'll find the average. 8 and 10 is 18. Divide 18 by 2 and look at that, there's 9. So if I say that the mean is a central measure of tendency, that we're looking for the middle, you might be having this thought. Well, why don't you math guys just call it an average then? By the way, that's a great question. So I'm going to give you an answer. Here's the cool thing about answers to questions. There's probably more than one answer to the question, but I'm going to give you my answer to the question. The great question was, why don't you just call the mean the average? And here's the answer. Because there's more than one kind of mean. Just like the word mean has more than one meaning. Could mean mean like a definition. Could be mean like, are you not being nice? It could be mean like finding an average, or there's another kind of mean as well. Two kinds that we talk about in my math courses are arithmetic mean, which means the average. Some people pronounce arithmetic as arithmetic mean. I'm going to use the word arithmetic or the pronunciation arithmetic. But there's also a geometric mean. Now you might be thinking, oh my, this is over my math pay grade. No worries, it's quite simple. Let's walk through it and you can see how they both work. Let's see if it makes sense. An arithmetic mean is the average, which is telling us to find something in the middle, but how we're finding that middle is by addition. You add them up, divide by how many you've got. Or maybe subtract if the numbers are negative, but that's for another time. So think of this. We said that the mean or the average or the middle of 8 and 10 was 9. Now think about the pattern. To get from 8 to 9 and 9 to 10, you're adding 1 each time. You add 1 to 8, you get to 9. You add 9 to 1, you get to 10. That puts 9 right in the middle because the pattern is adding 1 each time. That 1 actually has a name in algebra. That might be a little confusing because you're thinking, well, how am I supposed to figure that? I just know that 9 is in between 8 and 10. So let's take a pattern that's a little more difficult, because it's funny, the easy ones are always the ones that are confusing. Let's take one more difficult. Look at this pattern, or think of this pattern, or these three numbers. 4, 10, and 16. Now, if I take, how far is it from 4 to 10? And then from 10 to 16, and notice that you would add 6 each time, which means that 10 is right in the middle of 4 and 16 arithmetically, because we're adding 6 and adding 6 again. But watch what happens. If you take the two numbers on the beginning and the end, the 4 and the 16, and you add them together, 4 plus 16 is 20. There's two numbers. 20 divided by 2 is 10, and ta-da, there you are back in the middle again. That pattern, 4, 10, 16, where 10 is right in the middle of 4 and 16 because you're adding 6 each time, we actually find out that if you take the 4 and the 16, you add them together, you divide by 2, boom, you're right back at 10 again. That 6, that number that we were adding each time, is called a common difference, and you learn more about that in Algebra 1 and Algebra 2. Now, I know you're thinking right now, oh, yay, that's just what I wanted to learn about in Algebra 1 and Algebra 2, is what a common difference is and how you can work with it and how you can see the patterns. Well, hang with this for just a moment, because let's talk about the geometric mean. The geometric mean is actually something that you already have worked with as well, but you just may not know that you have. A geometric mean is finding the middle by multiplication or division if that multiplier is a fraction. But let's work with multiplication. Think of this pattern, 2, 6, 18. I'm going to say that 6 is in the middle of 2 and 18. And you may say, that's not in the middle, Mr. D. What are you thinking? Well, think about this. It's got what we call a common multiplier. Okay, we actually call it in geometry that common ratio. Think of this. Ready? To get from 2 to 6, you multiply by 3. To get from 6 to 18, you multiply by 3 again. That 3 is that common ratio. It's that common multiplying number that we use to get from 2 to 6 and then from 6 to 18, which puts 6 in the middle of 2 and 18 geometrically. So we would say that 6 is the geometric mean of 2 and 18. Just like a few minutes ago, we would say that 9 is the arithmetic mean of 8 and 10. The geometric mean you'll learn more about in geometry and also in Algebra 2. The two different kinds of means help us describe and recognize patterns with numbers. They also can be translated in how often we look for patterns in life, in behaviors, in people, in things, in animals, in just about anything. Recognizing a pattern helps us to become more comfortable with something or having a frame of reference for it. So is the mean really mean? So far, it sounds kind of helpful to me. I hope you'll agree. So let's go back to that phrase, the measure of central tendency. Why all the big words? One possible answer, again, my answer, is because there's more than one way to find the middle. There's the mean, whether we're doing the arithmetic mean or the geometric mean. But remember, central measure of tendency means finding the middle that we calculate for what tends to happen. That easy way to say it, finding the middle. There's more than one way to find the middle, as you're hearing with the mean, but there's other ways too. There's also what we call the median and the mode. The median is just like a median in the road. It's in the middle. If you want to find the median, just put the numbers in order and you find the one in the middle. Pretty easy, right? Almost. Let's check it out. Say you've got a list of numbers and your list is an odd number of members in my list. An example of that, 1, 2, 7, 9, and 10, five numbers. The number in the middle, 1, 2, 7, 9, and 10, would be the number 7. It's right in the middle of my list of five numbers. That's pretty easy to do. But what happens if you had six numbers? There's no middle. Listen to these six numbers, 1, 2, 7, 9, 10, and 12. Well, now there's six numbers. So now the middle has to become the middle of the two middle numbers. What? What does that mean? Well, think about that. 1, 2, 7, 9, 10, 12. The two numbers in the middle are 7 and 9. They're the two middle numbers. So what's in the middle of 7 and 9? And you say, oh, 8. So the median of a list of numbers like 1, 2, 7, 9, 10, and 12 would be 8. Why? Because you're finding the middle of the middle. Oh, thank you, the arithmetic mean, for helping one more time. I don't know that the mean is that mean. It seems to be helping us quite a bit right now. So I found the median of 1, 2, 7, 9, 10, and 12 to be 8. Well, there's also another kind of central measure of tendency that we call the mode. This is actually the easiest one. I tell students all the time, think of it like pie a la mode, pie with ice cream. The mode, because we like ice cream, we like it, so it's great. But the mode is the one that happens the most often in a group of numbers. Here's a pattern of numbers. 1, 2, 2, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now, you probably heard me say 2 3 different times. So in that list, the mode is the one that happens the most often, so the mode is 2. So now you might be saying, okay, I got it. There's a mean, arithmetic, geometric, there's a median, there's a mode. So why do we have all these different measures of central tendency? Why don't we just have one and just do it the same way every time? And my answer again, and I'm sure there's more than one answer, is it depends on the data that you're looking at and what you're trying to interpret by the data. Let's get this real. Let's take a look at a student, a young person, someone right in your house who's taken some tests. These are their test scores. Are you ready? Out of 100%, they got these scores: a 40, an 80, a 90, 90, 90, 98, and 100. Do you notice that the student's improving on every single test? They started at a 40. And then what happened? Well, then they went up to an 80. And then they got a 90 3 times in a row. Then they got a 98, and then they got 100. What grade would you give this student? You know, most people go with the mean, the arithmetic mean. Why? Well, because 40 plus 80 plus 90 plus 90 plus 90 plus 98 plus 100 is equal to 588. There's 7 scores there. So you take 588, the total, you divide by 7, and you get an average or an arithmetic mean of 84. But if I list those scores in order, 40, 80, 90, 90, 90, 98, 100, the middle, the median, is 90. And the mode, they got 90 3 different times. The mode is 90. So what kind of student is this? Is this a student that should have an 84? Or is this a student that should have a 90? In a public school setting, they always use the arithmetic mean or the average. But what about that first test? They got a 40 on it. The first test didn't go well. There are so many reasons why that could have happened. They didn't study. They didn't know the format of the test. Maybe they didn't feel good the day they took it. Maybe they were mad at their brother. Well, the next time they took the test, they did better. They got an 80. But then the next 5 times they took the test, it was all 90s and above. What kind of student is this? Sounds to me like it's an A student, especially if 2 out of the 3 central measures of tendency agree. If you take the time to analyze the patterns and notice what they're being used for and what they're not being used for, and you can start to determine what makes the most sense for you. What's going to make the most sense for a young person if you're trying to give them a grade? Okay, now, if you're a real estate agent or if you're a real estate broker, much love to you all, but your central measures of tendency can be a little misleading. Now, are they your central measures of tendency, or has someone told you which ones to use? If you visit a website like Trulia.com or look on the MLS system, the multiple listing service, you're going to see information. By the way, if you're looking at buying a home or you want to stop right now and go look up any of these websites, feel free. Here's how they give you information about home prices. They're going to tell you the average listing price of a home, and they typically will do it in a zip code. And then they're going to turn around and they're going to tell you the median sale price for the homes in that same area over the same time period. So one time they tell you the average, the arithmetic mean, for the listing price. And often what happens is that the average listing price is higher than the selling price of the person selling their home. Makes it look like you're getting a good deal. I looked at one and it said the average listing price for all the homes in this particular zip code was almost $300,000. Almost 40% above the listing price of that particular home. Oh my goodness, I must be getting a good deal. And then I turn around and I look at the median sale price for all the homes in that same area, and the median sale price is almost $50,000 lower. Now, they still say it's above the listing price, but now I'm thinking this. if the selling price is above the listing price and the median price is above the listing price, am I really getting a good deal? How's that going to work? Why did they tell me one is the average listing price, but the other is the median sales price? What they're listing it for is by the average. What they sold it for is by the median when they put the numbers in order. You know, I called a local real estate agent to ask, why do you do this? And she told me with perfect accuracy, they do this for her, in her opinion, because a neighborhood maybe has a high-priced home, which drives the average up, but not the median. Now, why would it drive the average up? Well, let's say that we had a lot of homes that were all around that median price, that median sale price of $250,000. But the average listing price was almost $50,000 more, almost $300,000. Why would it be higher? Possible because maybe there's a $1 million home in that area. Take out $1 million home and the median's not going to change very much because there's a lot of $250,000 homes all in that same zip code in that same neighborhood. Now, while the real estate agent was accurate in her assessment and why she said they do that, it still didn't really answer the question. Why wouldn't you use the median for both? Because if you use the median for both, the price is going to be the same. The average? Well, if you use the average for both, the average is going to be about the same. Why do I think they do this? Marketing. Why not? They take the median for one, the average for the other, they mix them up, and because they mix them together, the data is now misleading. You don't want to compare things in one way using an average and then things in another way using the median, just like we saw with the young person taking the test. You might want to have a conversation with your local real estate agent and say, why do they do that? And they've been doing that for years. As far as I can ever seen and chance I've ever looked on the internet, that's what they do. Is that the only place that this kind of thing happens? Not at all. It just happened to be one that I picked out because I have seen it so many times. So let's go back to that question. Is the mean really mean? Not at all. The mean is actually very helpful. Sometimes though, people might be a little mean by taking our helpful central measures of tendency and communicating something to make their point of view look better. That's what I think happens a lot of times with real estate. Makes it look good. Makes it look like you're getting a good deal or makes it look like it's higher priced than it really is. I'm not sure why they do that, but that's my opinion. You'll have to look for yourself. But my opinion starts to come from what? Well, it comes from understanding central measures of tendency, looking at the mean, the median, the mode, recognizing when one time they say they use the mean and another time they use the median. It all comes down to what point of view is someone trying to get across. Take the time to get to know your central measures of tendency. They may actually be something that are worthwhile for you, especially when it comes to your young person, how you represent your young person. What kind of student are they? What's the best way to measure, to show who they are and what they can do and how they are an amazing young person? Because they all are. Well, if you want more information about the mean, the median, the mode, measures of central tendency, feel free, email me, dennis@mrdmath.com. Be happy to send you more information about that or send me a question and we can chat more about it. Love to hear from you. As always, it's so much fun to put these things together and for podcasts, and I hope that you're finding them to be useful and, here it comes, meaningful. So don't let the mean be mean. Have the mean be something that makes a difference for you and makes a difference when working with your young people and introducing new topics to them in math. This is Mr. D signing off, and see you next time. Have a good week, everybody. This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.